news, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Rob Centers on the other side of the glass. Oh, he's taken fabulous care of us. We appreciate that. For those who have gone to aisleseat.com, you may know what our next guest is going to say. Movie Mike McGranahan is here, a professional movie critic at Aisle Seat. Follow him on Twitter. I do. Always great tweets. Although he's toned down the politicking lately. It's almost...
Politics is way too stressful. Nobody should care what the movie guy thinks about politics.
Okay. It's almost all entertainment movies. Yeah. So, yeah, good for you. Okay. He has a review. Always starts out with a big review, and then we have some mini reviews. We'll start out with Knock at the Cabin.
In Knock at the Cabin, Jonathan Groff and Ben Aldridge play a married couple who vacation at an isolated cabin in the woods with their adopted daughter. What should be a peaceful break turns terrifying when mystery man Dave Bautista shows up with three cohorts in tow. They claim that an apocalypse is coming, and the only way to prevent it is for one of the family members to be killed at the hands of the other two. Sounds to me like someone's been watching a little too much cable news. There is no director working today whose output is more inconsistent than M. Night Shyamalan's. He's made movies I've really liked and movies I've absolutely hated. For my money, Knock at the Cabin is his best film since The Sixth Sense. Real suspense is generated from trying to figure out if the doomsdayers are telling the truth or just deeply crazy, as well as from waiting to see how the men will respond. The story also forces you to ask yourself the uncomfortable question, would I kill a loved one if it would literally save everybody else on the planet? Dave Bautista's excellent performance helps drive the tension, which builds to an unpredictable finale. Knock at the Cabin is a first-rate thriller. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3.5, children who see dead people.
That's probably your longest descriptor, too.
Yes, in reference to The Sixth Sense, obviously.
Right, yeah, way super good movie. Yeah, whatever happened to Bruce Willis in that kind of film? Okay, so 3.5. I didn't buy it when I was watching the trailer, but you say you'll get sucked in.
I did. It's a divisive film. It's really one of those love it or hate it things. There's been a little bit of controversy about the movie's ending and what that says. So it's going to divide people, but for me, I think that's much more interesting than a movie that aims low and hits the target. M. Night Shyamalan takes some real chances here with the storytelling and the way he tells it, and I got hooked by it.
All right, so you saw that as remarkably exciting. I mean,
yes.
It really does draw you in. Where can I see this?
It is in theaters.
Just theaters, okay. Do you know when and where it will come out, on when it does come out?
It's a Universal film, so it'll probably go to Peacock within the next 2 months or so.
It's the one we don't have.
Seem
like we have everything else. Okay. All right. So, and then great acting. This great actor that's in there, from whom we always expect a fabulous performance anyway.
Yeah, Dave Bautista is really proving himself to be a phenomenal actor. He's so funny in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but in this film he shows he can do drama. And he brings a lot of weight and heaviness. His character is not happy that he has to deliver this news to this family. He doesn't want to put them in this situation, so he's got a lot of anguish and guilt. And Bautista really carries that off, but at the same time, he's physically threatening. He does say to this family, you've got to make a choice here one way or another. So it's a really multi-layered performance, and he's so good. And I think that he really is only at the beginning of showing us what he can do as an actor.
Okay. And when you're watching the film, you just can't imagine how it's going to end because, of course, with M. Night Shyamalan, some strange truth has always been in front of you the whole time or something like that. So, and of course, you don't give any of that away. So, all right, so we still don't know. So, Knock at the Cabin.
3.5, children who see dead people.
Okay. Okay. Mini reviews. She Came from the Woods, another thriller, right?
Yes, this opens nationwide today, including at our local AMC, and it's kind of an homage to the summer camp horror movies and comedies, of which there have been many over the years. And the movie is a horror comedy. I'd say it's about 75% horror, 25% comedy, but it's about a bunch of camp counselors. They send the kids home for the summer, and then then as a joke, they decide to summon the spirit of the crazy old nurse who used to work there and perform bloodletting experiments on the children, and they bring her back, and she goes around killing everybody.
And that's in the trailer, so you're not giving that anything.
Right. I mean, that's just the basic premise. This movie's okay, I guess. It's just kind of bland. The fact is, there are better horror movies set at summer camp, and there are better comedies set at summer camp, Meatballs and Wet Hot American Summer being two of them. And this movie spends so much time trying to imitate its influences that it never really becomes its own thing. So 2 stars for She Came from the Woods. It's not terrible, but I would recommend going and seeing something like Sleepaway Camp from the 80s, which is an absolutely crazy horror movie, or watch Meatballs again or Wet Hot American Summer.
Or I Know What You
this.
Did Last Summer. I mean, just that alone.
That's a preferable film, too.
Right. I mean, that was. Is that considered a classic? I certainly listed
it is among its generation, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I consider it one of the great horror films of all time. All right, so She Came from the Woods, 2-ish.
2 stars, yeah.
2, okay. And the Titanic 25th anniversary re-release is out, so you're going to have to walk us through this.
Yes, it's been 25 years, believe it or not, since it came out, and it's being released to theaters this weekend in a new 4K 3D restoration. I saw Titanic opening weekend in 1997, and I hadn't seen it again until last night when I screened the 3D version. And I have to say, as great as that film is, 3D adds something even more. It makes the whole sinking sequence, that last hour and a half of the film, absolutely harrowing. When the water is flooding down those corridors, it looks like it's going to hit you. Mm-hmm. And when Jack and Rose are hanging on the back of the ship as it's in a vertical position and starting to go straight down, you know, I was like grabbing the armrest of my seat because it feels like you're riding it right there with them. So if you have seen Titanic, as I think pretty much all of us have, you might say, do I need to go see it again in a theater? But 3D will give you something you did not get before. So, yes, I recommend it. It's still a 4-star movie, but I highly recommend going to see the new 3D version.
Well, I probably haven't seen it in about 10 years or so, and I always catch some line or some image or something that I don't. So,
yeah.
Okay, so you have to have a 3D TV or a 3D theater.
Right. It's playing locally at AMC in 3D. I think it was released on 3D Blu-ray a few years ago. But, of course, they don't make 3D TVs in this country anymore, or at least don't sell them here. So that's kind of makes it harder to see that way. So I definitely recommend going to see it on the big screen in the theater this weekend.
One of our good listeners sends us a note and says, what's the cost of a 3D ticket these days?
If you go at a matinee, I believe it's $10.79,
okay.
And
yeah,
I think $12 or $13 at night. I have the A-list service, so I just pay a flat fee per month, and that covers all my film going.
Well, and I think you go with a 20 for yourself, you know, for the ticket and the popcorn, and if you want soda, then that's it might go above 20 with that. But okay, so 3D theaters and Titanic 25th anniversary, not a number per se, but worth the extra.
Yeah, I mean, I still give it 4 stars. I gave it 4 stars in 97, and that would definitely hold.
All right, fantastic. Okay, so Titanic, 25th anniversary. I added this to your list without your knowledge or consent, the death of Burt Bacharach.
Yeah.
Big impact on the cinema industry.
Oh, absolutely. He died of natural causes at the age of 94. One of the great songwriters of all time. He won a Grammy, a Tony, an Oscar. Known for so many songs, including Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, from one of my favorite movies, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. So he wrote that. He wrote the song that was remade in the 80s by Naked Eyes. Always Something There to Remind Me. That was kind of my introduction to him because I was an 80s kid. And when that song came out, everybody said, oh, it was written by Burt Bacharach. I'm like, oh, who's that? Started to look into him, you know, and he had so many great songs. Of course, going back to movies, he co-wrote Arthur's Theme by Christopher Cross from the movie Arthur. So a lot of just great songs and influential work over the years. Burt Bacharach, truly one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
And in the Austin Powers movies, I heard somebody talking about that yesterday, or did the music or played in them?
Yeah, they used some of his songs throughout the Austin Powers series.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, he had a lot of connection to films and plays and everything. He was just one of those all-around talented guys.
All right, so Burt Bacharach, certainly a career and a legacy worth noting here. Everybody was excited to see there's going to be another Magic Mike movie at all, but now we might not see it. Tell me about that.
Big mystery here. Magic Mike's Last Dance opens today, but not locally and not in a lot of other places either, because Warner Brothers is kind of burying this movie. There has not been a lot of advertising for it. And this is weird because the first two movies were very big hits, and they are releasing this one in about 1,200 to 1,500 theaters. Normally, a big movie, especially part of a franchise, will open in 3,000, 4,000, maybe even 5,000 theaters. So they're keeping this very low. I posted about it on Twitter and heard from a number of people around the country who work for theaters who said that their theaters begged Warner Brothers to let them book the movie, and Warner Brothers refused. Now, there are two theories for what's going on here. One is that Warner Brothers is having financial problems and can't afford to promote the movie. I don't believe that. It's a multi-billion dollar company. The other is that Magic Mike's Last Dance was originally made for HBO Max, and after a very positive test screening, star Channing Tatum and director Steven Soderbergh lobbied for a theatrical release. But if Warner Brothers was to release it wide, it would change everybody's contracts because they got less money since it was going to be a streaming film and they would have to pay out more. I don't know which of those is true, if there's another reason or if there's a combination, but we know this is the second time this year Warner Brothers has done this with a film. They did it with the House Party reboot last month. And word is that they're going to do this again with the upcoming Evil Dead reboot, Evil Dead Rise, that they're going to keep that in very minimal theater. So this is a huge surprise given how popular and successful the first two Magic Mike movies were.
Yeah, the first two were extremely entertaining. You know, you think, oh, what, you know, A Life of a Stripper, what's this going to be? And but boy, they really just draw on every heartstring and drama and talent. And of course,
Channing Tatum.
Yes, Channing. Thank you. I'm messing up his name here. I was going to reverse it. But anyway, just a fabulous actor that really hasn't been given comparable work to do that really draws out his talents. Am I observing that right?
Yeah, he's a really talented guy, can do comedy and drama. Hasn't had that big role yet like Brendan Fraser got this year with The Whale. I think that's probably in Channing Tatum's future. I think he's up to that, but nobody has really cast him in that kind of role yet. He's had big hits and has shown his talent, but he hasn't had that one kind of career-defining get an Oscar nomination role.
Yeah, and it could almost be anything based on what you've seen him. It could be some sort of militaristic movie or a Fast and Furious type. I mean, it looks like he could almost pull off anything. All right, so that is that. That takes care of that. Oh, AMC Theaters. I noticed this week they're going to charge extra if you sit front and center.
Yeah, they're launching a new initiative where you'll pay according to where you want to sit. So if you want to sit in the middle, looking right at the screen, it'll cost you a couple bucks more. If you want to go to the movies on a budget, you can pay a couple bucks less and sit in the front row. This is only going to be in theaters that have reserved seating, which our local AMC does not. So that's probably not going to affect us unless they decide to take that to all their theaters. But for right now, it's only going to be in theaters in the bigger areas where they already have reserved seating.
Well, and where demand is very high for every seat.
Yes.
It happens there. And every other form of entertainment charges more to be front and center. So
right. It's no different than going to a football game or a concert.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the cheap seat sets where you'll find me most likely, I'm sure. Thank you so much, Movie Mike. Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. He's also an author. You can do as I do. Follow him on Twitter, at Aisle Seat. And you can always look up his reviews at aisleseat.com. And his appearance always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg.